If you would turn in your Bible to the book of Acts, chapter 20. Acts, chapter 20. So we're stepping forward a number of chapters from chapter 16, which is where we last were, and the last mention or example of prayer. And so here in Acts chapter 20, we are coming forward. In Acts 16, we are in Paul's second missionary journey, and now we are near the end of his third missionary journey. And in chapter 21, he does make it to Jerusalem, and of course, that's when the mob kind of sets on him in the temple, and the Roman centurion rescues him from the mob, and then basically he's in prison until sometime after he gets to Rome, and we believe he was released for a bit and then re-imprisoned later. But so this is almost at the end of his freedom to travel days. Not quite, but almost. And so what we are told here is that as he was making his way back to Jerusalem, he asked for the elders of the church at Ephesus to come and meet him. Verse 17 tells us that from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church, and they came to him. And so he didn't actually go to Ephesus, stayed at Miletus, which I believe is along the coast, and then the elders of the church would have come out to meet him. And so he begins speaking to them. It's recorded in verse 18 on down through verse 35. And we aren't going to read all of that just now, but verse 36 tells us that when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. Right? So you know, again, the scene, he's traveling by ship, he has this port call, and from the port call, he sends messengers to the church at Ephesus, calls the elders to come, and shares these parting words with them. And once he is finished, they kneel down there, probably very near to the shore or the dock, and have this time of prayer. And then he goes to the ship, and he's gone. And so he had spent a number of years in Ephesus ministering, and church, of course, was established there. And then later he writes an epistle that we have in our scriptures to that church. But here are these final words that he has with the elders at this point in time. And we are told that they kneeled down there and prayed. He prayed with them all. And they all wept sore, fell on his neck, sorrowing for his words that said, you know, you're not going to see me anymore. So, again, this is an interesting example of prayer, a parting prayer. So this man had ministered the gospel to them, and now he was parting with them. And other than contact by way of letter, they were not expecting to have any more face-to-face contact. And, of course, that was in a day before you had telephones, before you had, you know, FaceTime or Skype or whatever. And so this would have been the last really personal conversation he would be able to have with them, is what the expectation was. And so on this occasion, we aren't told, as I said, the content of the praying, but we are told the circumstances, right, in which the praying took place. And we can understand something of, you know, the interest that there would be to have a word of prayer when you're parting under those circumstances. And, you know, sometimes, and it depends on the situation, but sometimes when people are parting one with another, believing people are parting one with another, someone's come and visited for a while or whatever, sometimes a word of prayer is had when the visitor takes their leave. And there's biblical precedent for doing that. And so that is interesting as an example in and of itself, when you think of the circumstances and this example of prayer, which would encourage us to pray in similar parting circumstances. But if we were to speculate, okay, with sanctified speculation, as to what the content of this praying might have been, I think we can be safe in reviewing the words that the Scripture, the Holy Spirit, has recorded for us, coming from the mouth of Paul to these people. And as we review these words, I think we will find likely that some of these very things that he talks about probably were included in the content of this parting prayer. All right, so we're going to review quickly what he did say to them, verses 18 through 35. And we're reviewing it with an eye to, okay, yeah, I could see them praying about that. All right, and if you stop and think about it, remember that we are encouraged by a promise from the Lord in 1 John. You don't have to turn there, but in 1 John chapter 5, we are encouraged by this promise. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Right? So very much we are encouraged to pray according to the will of God. Well, how do we come to know the will of God? Through the pages of Scripture. Okay, and so that's why I say, you know, when you think of the circumstances of them kneeling down and praying with them all before he gets on the ship, and you say, well, what would they be praying? Well, if they would be praying according to the will of God, then if we look at the verses prior, I think we'll find some direction as to the appropriate kind of content according to the will of God in a parting prayer. So let's review this quickly. Some of what we find is a word of testimony, Paul reminding them of his ministry. Verse 18, when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Right, so let's pause for a moment. Right, so he's reminding them of the ministry that he had among them. And so I would expect that perhaps part of the content of the praying was, Lord, thank you for the opportunity that we've had to have Paul minister to us. Right, and as they were reminded of that. Verse 20, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, and so there you have a reminder of the gospel message, right? And of course, the very fact that these are elders in the church, obviously, they responded with repentance and faith. And so there certainly could be a thanking the Lord for the gospel and for that gospel message, that good news that was shared with them, and that they are the eternal beneficiaries of. Thank you, Lord, right, for sending Paul and giving us the gospel through his mouth. Verse 22. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Spirit witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. And of course, that's where they were getting the idea that they would not see his face anymore. And that is what they were so sorrowful about. And undoubtedly, surely, that was included in the content of the praying, right? As they would have prayed for Paul and prayed that, Lord, if it would please you, please spare our brother, right? And protect him and keep him safe and just deliver him from adversaries. And Paul, if he were praying, would be perhaps praying that the Lord would just continue to guide and give him courage to be faithful. I mean, he says, verse 24, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and receive the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Sorry, verse 25 is when he says that they won't see him anymore. So certainly they would have been praying for that. Paul certainly could have been praying, Lord, help me finish my course. I don't know for sure what's going to await me, but Lord, help me to be faithful to the end. And here is a man who had suffered much for the cause of Christ, right? Already. And he's going to suffer more. You know, he's got years of imprisonment. He's got at least one shipwreck ahead of him, right? We know that. And so, Lord, just help me to be faithful. And I have said this so many times, right? And you know, the older we get, right? It's one thing to start well. It's an entirely different thing to finish well, right? And folks, what shakes us in our finishing oftentimes is tribulation, right? Sometimes it's temptation to sin, but sometimes it's tribulation. And Paul here knew that he was facing tribulation. Entirely appropriate in that parting prayer, Lord, give grace that I might be faithful. So verse 25, telling them that they would see his face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. Right? And so surely as Paul would have prayed, he would have prayed for those elders. Right? He endeavored to give to them the whole counsel of God. It was their responsibility, their charge before God, that they would give the whole counsel to the flock over which the Lord had made them overseers, right? And so praying the Lord's blessing on their ministry, praying that the Lord would help them to take appropriate heed, because even verse 29, he goes on to say, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Right? So those that would seek to do spiritual damage to the believers in that place, surely Paul would have been praying, Lord, please protect these people. I know that the wicked one would desire to have them. And even as he says in verse 30, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch. Right? And so this praying for protection, spiritual protection, not just physical protection, but spiritual protection on those people, and that these elders would take from God the sober responsibility, laid on the shoulders of those charged with spiritual leadership in a local church, and that they would fulfill that course faithfully, right? And that the Lord would give them wisdom, that the Lord would give them humility, that the Lord would keep them right before Him. And of course, verse 31 continues, "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears." Right? And you know that there were tears when they're praying on the beach. Right? You know that there would have been more tears. Right? And again, just as a testimony of a heart, hearts, plural, of all of them together entering into the presence of the Lord to commit to Him these things and call upon Him for His help and sustaining in the years, the unknown years and days ahead, right? And then verse 32, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." And again, what an anchor to lay hold of. Right? Here's a rock. There's the will of God. Right? Pray that as your parting. Right? And so undoubtedly he would have prayed, "Lord, I commend these people to you, to your word, to your grace. Build them up, dear God." Right? Keep them. Give them that inheritance. Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth, as Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed in John 17. Right? And so undoubtedly that verse also included in the content. And then again, word of testimony, "I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, you yourselves know that these hands have ministered to my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" And so perhaps Paul prays, "Lord, I've set before them an example of following Christ and laboring to meet the needs of others. Please help these men in their position of leadership to take that place at the feet of the people that they are serving and provide for them." And the people as well, the elders perhaps, praying the same thing for themselves. "Lord, you know, help us to follow this man's example. Help us to serve as he served so faithfully, and help us to give as you would have us give." And so here, just very, very quick, in interest of time, right, to quickly rehearse these words, but would you not agree that in those words surely is a, whether they exactly prayed them or not, we don't know, we aren't told, but surely it's appropriate kind of content for the prayer that would have been offered as these brothers in Christ parted one from another, right? Perhaps for the last time. And so let's be mindful as we are reading our Bibles that oftentimes what we read can be used to instruct our praying, right? And I think that this is a prime example of how we can take the Word of God and we can use it to inform our praying, that we would pray these things back to God. And when you do that, I mean, you know it's His will, right? And so may the Lord use this example, this parting prayer, to be an encouragement to us. We aren't ever going to be in the exact same circumstances, but there's much that we can learn from thinking about that example. And so may the Lord help us learn it.